When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. As promised, we're going to go through our breakout players, or the players we expect to potentially break out in the 2024 season. Before we came on, Steve, you're telling me, it's weird. My list is a lot of second-year guys. And I was like, yeah, a lot of times they're going to be second-year guys. It's tough to be a breakout player as a six-year veteran. But hey, you never know. Either way, this segment, we're going to start with defensive players, and we'll start with you, Steve. Who is at the top of your list of breakout candidates? Like, this isn't necessarily predicting a massive season, but it's more just identifying the players who could have a much bigger impact this year than they did last year.
Starting right off the bat, going to go right up front in the trenches, and a guy like Brian Brzee, who I thought had a pretty decent rookie season, obviously we need to see more development, especially come the run game. But I feel like there was a lot to like about Brzee year one, and looking forward to seeing how much more he can mature and develop for that sophomore surge, at least.
Yeah, you know, he's a tough one. He was on my list, but I kind of moved him down, not because I have low expectations for him, but because the expectations he's created with his first season,
right,
make it tough. Like, in order for him to break out to surprise people, he'd have to have an Aaron Donald type like season, and maybe not that significant, but he'd have to have that type of impact.
He managed 4.5 sacks last year, so it's like, well, I'm expecting now 9, right?
Right, and if he could get the double digit sacks, sure. But like, I think a successful season year two for him would be being more consistent against the run, and that's just not going to blow people away. But it will, you know, you'll probably see higher tackle numbers. You'll probably see higher pressure numbers. And I like that pick. Obviously, people are excited about Brian, as they should be. You know, we talk about a lot of these bad picks, a lot of these people you would call a bust. And he's not one of them, at least not right now. Now, that can go the other way, right? Like Chase Young, for example, he was defensive rookie of the year in 2020. Fast forward to 2024, and the Saints are getting him on a one-year deal with very little interference. You know, part of that's due to injuries. Part of that's just due to the fact that he hasn't lived up to expectations. So it can go the other way. So it is important. Even if you have if you start well as a rookie, you still need to continue to build on that. And I think Brian will.
Yeah, I think he's one of the guys too. Last year, maybe it was because obviously his rookie season, the Saints, the Houdat Nation, he wasn't in their crosshairs of hatred at all.
No, because he was performing, and you were seeing the impact. And a lot, you know, it's funny. A lot of that, I think, too, is like media reception, where everyone's talking about how good he's doing. So even if you don't really pay attention that closely, you're like, oh, they hit on this pick.
All right. He's doing something positive.
So we do have a role in that, right? Like, because you can't expect everyone to watch every defensive tackle play and be like, oh, just see, he won. Anyway. Because the trenches are so tough. And I feel the same way about offensive line. Like, so much of the time, the criticism thrown at offensive linemen is based on the people you're hearing, the people you trust be critical of, you know, the analysts you trust. And so, no, I think that's part of it. Moving forward, you know, my first name on this list is the other top pick from the 2023 draft, which is Isaiah Foskey. And I thought Dennis Allen's comments on Isaiah were interesting, but also just pretty honest in terms of, you know, he's asked what Isaiah has to do to make a bigger impact, to be a breakout player in year two. And this is what he said.
Number one, he's got to cut it loose. You know, I think this last year, was a big learning year for him. And so my hope is that he has a great offseason. He's able to spend, you know, he understands what we're what we're doing defensively, and so he's less concerned about, you know, learning the defense, and he's able to just go cut it loose and go play. And I think that's what I'm looking to see. Now, it's going to be a while before we can actually see that happen. You're not seeing it, you know, really as you go through OTAs and minicamp. But I think that's just part of the process. But I really want to see him kind of cut it loose.
Yeah, and I think that answer is interesting because it does kind of point to something that a lot of rookies struggle with in the NFL. And it's just that there's a lot of sensory overload. You're learning a different style of defense. You're learning a lot of technique. And I think that that can kind of overwhelm a lot of players early on in the process. And the issue for Isaiah, and it's not dissimilar to what you saw with Trevor in year one, is that development that you would have wanted to see throughout his rookie season was I almost said hamstrung, but it was actually his quad that kind of became an issue when you really never got to see him. I thought he was actually showing some positive signs in the defense in his limited work, but you never got to see him kind of capitalize on that as the season went on because that injury lingered and then he tried to come back and he re-injured it. And then he was out the rest of the year. But I do think that, you know, he's a guy who you're going to want to see worked into that rotation. And particularly in camp, I need to see him show signs, you know, especially because the offensive tackles he's going against are guys that we do not believe in. So, like, kind of like Carl Granderson last year, you know, we were talking throughout camp, like, wow, Carl's winning a lot.
Yes, like, he was.
Carl's good, or is it because Trevor is bad? And, you know, I think a little bit of both. But, you know, Carl kind of delivered on that throughout the season, got his new contract. And that's what I want to see from Isaiah in the preseason, in the training camp, is I want to see him be a guy who you struggle to keep off the field, who makes you feel like, man, we got to find ways to get him snapped. And he wasn't that last year. So I think for him to be a breakout player this year, it's got to start early. And if you believe what Dennis Allen is saying, he's got to start trusting his own technique and his own ability more than he did last year. And there's reason to think he can. You know, one of the reasons you brought him in was because he's a veteran player in college. He was a team leader. He is a high character guy. So I think he's the obvious choice here to be a breakout player. And, you know, for kind of the inverse of what we talked about with Brian, a breakout for Isaiah Foskey will be a 4 or 5 sack season.
Yeah, just one of those things where I think, like you said, it's interesting to hear Dennis Allen say he just wants to hear him cut it loose, because you never feel like his rookie season you saw him comfortable, I guess, enough to be able to think he could even do that. Hopefully year two for him, he's got more of that belief in himself to let it unleash on the field, because obviously a guy was a second round pick for you. You're expecting a lot more contributions than what he gave up year one. And I don't know if my question's more for him in the run game or actually as a pass rusher.
Well, I do think that's part of him getting on the field, is being more trusted in the run game. And, you know, if I had to pick a player that on this team that I think he has similar traits to, it'd be Cam Jordan. He's a little bit more athletic than Cam Jordan, but from a physical standpoint, they're similar. And so, well, hopefully he can kind of be a sponge on Cam Jordan and learn all of those things. But yeah, if you can be an effective rundowns player, great. I just need you to have an impact, because there's too many players, there's too many draft picks over the last several seasons that you'd be like, man, they just did not make an impact, particularly in the early rounds. But all right, let's move on. One more defensive player from each. Who's your pick?
I'm going to go with the guy that is really out of necessity, too, because no more Marcus May, and let's see what Jordan Howden can do in his second season with this team. He showed, I thought, some pretty good promise year one. There was a time, though, that Jonathan Abram ended up starting over him. I still believe, though, that Howden can be a pretty good force for this team in the secondary. And I'm just curious to see what exactly his role can grow to on this defense. Because maybe, just maybe, is he the nickel guy you're looking for, too? I don't know.
But you read my mind. That's kind of what I was looking at. Like, I wonder if Jordan ends up being a guy that you really kind of try out in the nickel this offseason in a way that you really didn't want to do last year, because you didn't want to overwhelm him. You know, he worked at both safety spots. I think that's kind of, when you're bringing in a young guy, you want to make sure he can do his main job before you start giving him other jobs, right? It's part of the reason you didn't really throw Alante Taylor into the nickel until his second season, because you want to make sure he can be a pro first. And you don't want to ruin someone's confidence trying to make them do something they've never done before. And that's not true. I think Jordan has played the nickel in college, but it's a completely different animal playing the nickel in college versus playing nickel in the NFL. But exactly. I do think that he has the traits to do it. And that kind of leads me into my pick, which, you know, this is kind of a yin and yang kind of situation, because, you know, I talked about it's tough to be a breakout player in year five or six. But that's what I think my pick is actually on the fringe of being, and it's Jonathan Abram.
There you go.
Now, yeah, it's funny. You look at Jonathan Abram and you're like, well, we already know everything there is to know about Jonathan Abram. And maybe you're right. But at the same time, you look up Jonathan Abram and you're like, man, this dude's 27 years old. He's still in his prime. You know, right. You're talking about a defense that has Cam Jordan, that has Tyrann Mathieu, that has DeMario Davis on it, guys in their 30s. Compared to them, he's a spring chicken, you know? And one of the reasons that I just think, you know, he was a first round pick for a reason, right? He has a first round pick profile. And yes, he was what you would call him a bust in Oakland. But I do think that, you know, one of the difficulties of being a first round pick from a player perspective is the expectations placed upon you are so high, particularly as a safety in the first round. Like, we talk about positional value. When teams go outside of that and they pick a running back, they pick a tight end, they pick a safety in the first round, what the flip side of that is, like, yeah, you have really high expectations for this player. They need to show up and make an impact right away. And when they don't, they become a bust and it just ruins everything. And you put a guy into a bad situation, Oakland or Vegas or wherever they were, you know, that was not a situation where you have a guy who maybe needs to develop and shows up and there's a strong culture that you can allow for that. And so I think that worked against him. Now you're talking about the Saints. He has 5 years of experience. He showed up late in the year and he really kind of attached himself to this Dennis Allen scheme in a way that gives you confidence. And I wouldn't be surprised if he wins that battle coming out of camp over Jordan Howden. And it's not about Jordan. I think Jordan is a good player and will continue to develop. But I wouldn't be surprised if, yeah, you're like, yeah, okay, maybe you take a backseat to the veteran and learn this season a little bit more. And if you do need to play, you're ready. And we're going to teach you how to play the slot. You're going to be an option in the slot. And Jonathan Abram ends up being a guy, right? So he appeared in 9 games. He had 26 tackles, 14 solo tackles. He had that big interception against the Bucks. He also forced a fumble against the Bucks in that Week 17 game. And I don't know. Like, I think people are sleeping on Jonathan Abram because he's an old head, right? Because he's a veteran who started on the practice squad last year. But if you can play, you can play. And we know that he has the skill set. We know he's only 27. We know he had a big impact late in the year. And we know he's a veteran presence in that room. People respect him. So, you know, I don't know what a breakout season for him would look like, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see this guy start, I don't know, 12, 14 games, rack up 60-something tackles, intercept a few passes, make an impact. And to me, if that's what you get out of Jonathan Abram, that's a breakout season for a guy in year 6.
I will say, too, in his favor, it's almost being back home, you know, Mississippi guy playing now in Louisiana, mentions that obviously being close to family it's not too bad to get them to come to the Superdome at all kind of thing to see you play. And you know what, if it's something where someone's more comfortable back in there in a realm where they're more familiar with, so be it. I know had a run, I think, with the Seattle Seahawks a little bit after the Raiders, and it didn't work out from there either.
Yeah, he was with the Seahawks and the Packers for short stints before coming to the Saints. But yeah, I mean, like, again, you're talking about a first round pick that never delivered on that with the Raiders. And you could fill, you know, a museum with all of the first round picks for the Raiders that didn't pan out. And is it all because the players were not capable, or is it because the Raiders were not capable of developing those players? I think in some cases, yeah, you could probably point to the player and say this was a bad pick because the player wasn't good enough. But in a lot of instances, and I think more instances than a lot of people think is the case, players that could develop into quality NFL players have their potential careers torpedoed by an organization that can't get its head out of its ass. And I think if any organization, you could qualify that as probably the Raiders for the last decade.
No, anyway. I like the pick just because I don't consider Abram has reached his peak as a player at 27 years old for sure yet.
I mean, it's Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, I wouldn't say that he's on the backside of his career.
Right.
If you like, I'm not saying this guy's going to be peak Troy Polamalu. I'm saying if you can be a quality NFL starter at 27 years old, I mean, come on, why wouldn't that be possible for a guy who now understands the game a little better as a year in a scheme and worked his way up off the practice squad? The thing that really stood out to me last year, if you remember the Rams game, and this is just, you know, this has nothing to do with being on the field, but it just feels like something that you have to have respect in a room to do this is, if you remember, Alante Taylor got benched. He was sitting on the bench pouting, you know, like, and I don't say that in an insulting way. I mean, he was like, it's a frustrating moment. You got benched and you take it in type of ways. He wasn't over there berating anybody. He was just sitting on the bench frustrated. And, you know, the guy who I saw walk over to him and kind of get in his face and be like, hey man, you know, like pick him up, was Jonathan Abram. Now, a lot of people talked to him. Derek Carr talked to him. A couple other guys talked to him. But the guy that I felt like was really resonating in that conversation was Jonathan Abram. And when Jonathan got done talking to him, Alante stood up, went and stood over on the sidelines and approached the rest of that game with a much better attitude. And I don't know. Like, I like that. That's what I want to see. That's why one of the reasons I gravitate toward Tyrann Mathieu is because he's that kind of guy, a guy you respect in that room and a guy who can lead other guys, even if he's not a starter. He wasn't starting at that point. He started the next week. but yeah, anyway, I was kind of going through this and I was like, there's some obvious choices, right? You know, there's some other guys that you could pick. You know, you could say Carl Granderson, maybe he breaks out and has a 12-14 sack season to really kind of, you know, come on. Again, you mentioned Jordan Howden. I think there's a few pieces of this defense that could have a big impact that we aren't anticipating. I think Jonathan could be one of them.
Definitely a guy too. You, like I said, you're rooting for the former first round pick talent has been accumulating now on the Saints. We'll see if they can end up, you know, taking what was considered gold to someone else and finally, you know, mining that and really having it come to life. I definitely like what we saw from Jonathan Abram last year. It wasn't anything that knocked your socks off, but definitely a guy that I feel like has more to give.
And if you need any likability points, he opened a ranch in Mississippi, yes. Or he's going to open a ranch in Mississippi. They're right. Going to have outreach programs for kids to go and like learn about horses and stuff. He said that he grew up with horses, and at his house or ranch or wherever he grew up, they would basically just wander around in the front yard like dogs. And they, like, they're just
that's
at the
so
house.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my pick. I don't have any more that I really want to dive into. Do you have anywhere you want to hit on before you go on to the offense?
No, I can go over to the other side of the ball. Just a guy that I think more of, I'm hoping that we're talking about him as a breakout star, is definitely a guy in Peyton Turner. It's like, when are things going to finally click for him? Because there have been little moments where you've seen that quote unquote flash, but it's just been a bad series of unfortunate injury history for him.
A series of unfortunate injuries.
Yeah, right. There you go. Right.
Yeah, no, and it's funny because we talked about kind of the goalposts are in different locations for different players. Like Brian Brzees are very far down. If he reaches them, it means he had an incredible season, but he could fall way short of that and still have a good season. For Peyton, I mean, what is a breakout season for him? Just playing in 12 games?
Right, pretty much. Like, being able to manage more than half a year, right?
Right. I mean, even a half a year would be a win. Like, if he got through 9 games, that would be massive.
Yeah.
But no, I hope that's the case. I truly do. Because I like Peyton. He's a guy who you talk to and you're like, you walk away from every conversation being like, I like the guy. I like his approach. I think his head's in the right place. Can't stay on the field. So, yeah, I mean, his breakout would be not breaking anything.
Sadly, that is very accurate.
Yeah. But all right, let's wrap up that segment. We just talked about breakout players on the defensive side. Again, guys like Isaiah Foskey, Brian Brzee, Jonathan Abram, Jordan Howden, and maybe even Peyton Turner on that list. Next segment, we are going to shift to the offensive side of the ball, which has a lot of exciting names on it, but it's still a lot of question marks as well. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. We will be right back.